each country has its own obstacles. The demand for AI and AIoT applications is basically there to help fill in a gap. So I think for us, you know, we do see, you know, AIoT growing quickly.
On this episode of Embedded Insiders, we're featuring a group of AI experts all hailing from vendors based in Taiwan. The vendors, certainly leaders in their own right, are DFI, ASUS IoT, and Shuttle. They all feature IoT products, or in this case, AIoT products, in this event organized by TITRA, the Taiwan External Trade Development Council.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Embedded Insiders podcast. We are the Embedded Insiders. I'm Rich Nass, Executive Vice President of Open Systems Media. And the guy over there is Ken Briota, Technology Editor for Embedded Computing Design. How you doing, Ken?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm sure the podcast listeners appreciate the sight gag of saying I'm over there. Tiara, we're going to have to put this on binaural, so on the headphones. We switch from side to side so that they get the sight gags.
That's good.
Okay.
So what's going on, Rich? What's new in your embedded suitcase?
Well, we are in complete, I was going to say panic mode, but it's not really panic mode. It's freak out mode for embedded world.
That's going to come up fast.
Few days out now. I get on the plane very shortly. I think you go a day after I do, so I'll get the hotel set up for you. Before you get there,
are we sharing a room? I didn't know that. I got to call HR.
we're good. But whatever reason, I recorded a podcast just yesterday with a bunch of guys from Taiwan representing artificial intelligence companies. And it was extremely interesting. It was longer than I thought it was going to be. And we just kept going because it was so interesting. My guys are Charlie Yang from DSI, Jason Liu from ASUS IoT, and Tosh Agar from Shuttle. And it was organized by TITRA, who's the one of the trade associations in Taiwan. But I thought that would be a really good Embedded Insiders. And I'm using this as an introduction to that. And hopefully our audience will really enjoy that podcast that I just recorded.
I'm sure they will. You know, obviously AI is on everybody's mind right now. It's everything going on. I just got back from a combo trip for NVIDIA GTC and the Synopsys Snug users group event. So I got to see Jensen Huang speak twice. So that was great. But it was just a wall-to-wall AI. I saw a bunch of, you know, robotics end, a bunch of server end stuff, a ton of edge. Everybody want to talk about that. So it's really exciting. It's really cool. NVIDIA in particular is very hard on generative across a lot of verticals in sort of unexpected places. So you folks out there who are interested in that should keep watching because there's articles coming.
And welcome to a very exciting podcast we have here today. This podcast that you are now listening to is sponsored by TITRA, the Taiwan External Trade Development Council. My name is Rich Nass. I am the Executive Vice President of Open Systems Media. I lead the Embedded Computing Design team. And we will be talking lots about artificial intelligence here. And that is something that we talk about on Embedded Computing Design every day. When we talk to developers, designers, people doing hardware, people doing software, they have questions about artificial intelligence. So we're going to go through some of the hot points here. And we have three panelists. You'll hear from all of them often. So before I introduce our three panelists, I would like to introduce Tessa Lin, who is a project manager for TITRA. All yours, Tessa. Take it away.
Oh, thanks, Rich. Hello, everyone. This is Tessa. and I'm representing TITRA, Taiwan External Trade Development Council. And we, our main goal is to assist Taiwanese businesses in developing in their international markets. And also every year we hold a lot of Taiwan trade shows, which connects exhibitors and the buyers in Taiwan here. And today our topic will be related to AIoT. So first of all, I just want to mention about the current global AIoT market scope is expected to reach $144 billion by 2028 with a growth rate of 31%. And during COVID-19, the demand of the IoT solutions has increased dramatically, especially for those technology-driven service organizations. And when we mention about Taiwan, how about the AIoT market scope in Taiwan now? In fact, in 2020, the AIoT market scope in Taiwan might have exceeded $51 billion, and our government also allocated around $3 billion in establishing digital households and $1.6 billion to enhance the 5G infrastructure. And I think Taiwan is an ideal destination for AIoT technology sectors like manufacturing, smart cities, or agriculture. And we actually leverage our tech expertise as well as the manufacturing capabilities to support this industry. And today we've got panelists from ASUS, DFI, and Shuttle, and I'm really looking forward to their insights. And thank you, and back to Rich.
Well, thank you very much. So you understand why you're here now. So now I've asked each of the three speakers to very briefly introduce themselves and explain why what their company's contribution is to artificial intelligence, which sort of tells you why we wanted them on the panel. So I'd like to first start with Tush Atgar, who is a director with Shuttle.
Hey, Rich and audience. It's a pleasure to be on this podcast today. My name is Tosh Acker. I am the Director of Sales and Marketing for Shuttle Computer Group. We've been around since 1983. The first Macintosh came out in 1984, so we've been around the industry for quite a while. And as of today, we're one of the leading providers in OEM solutions, focusing in artificial intelligence, edge computing, and pretty much the core markets that we'd be speaking of today.
Awesome. Thank you. Next, we have Charlie Yang from DFI.
Yep. Hello, everyone. I'm Charlie Yang. I'm the country manager of DFI America. DFI actually is a company focused on the embedded computer. So we design and manufacture all by ourselves. And regarding to the AI, as you can tell, we have a whole bunch of product that focuses on edge computing. So later, I think I will gonna focus on our hardware solution to everyone.
Thank you, Charlie. And last, we have Jason Liu from ASUS Computer International. Jason?
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Jason Liu. I'm the Director of Product Management under ASUS AIoT Business Group. So you probably know about ASUS, about the computer motherboard, the graphics card. But I'm actually under a new business group started about 5 years ago, and the focus is on the AI plus the embedded computer for industrial application. More focus on the software plus hardware total solution that ASUS would like to provide a solution to our customer and partners. All right, back to you, Rich.
Thank you, Jason. Okay, so I'm going to ask the panel questions. I'm going to ask each of the panelists to respond to each of the questions. And then there's a good chance that I may challenge their answers. And you other panelists, you can also challenge their answers. If I don't like your answer, I'm going to tell you I don't like your answer. Okay. So let's let's keep this lively. Okay. So for the first one, we'll keep the same order. Tosh, what impact has artificial intelligence had on the IoT, the Internet of Things?
From our perspective, being in the industry, we've seen a lot of this integration happening a little early on in the edge computing space, predominantly seeing a lot of things happening with like facial recognition, also with our area hot tracking. And now it's a big surprise to see it meshed into a lot of consumer goods, whether it's different type of applications folks are utilizing on wearables, things throughout their home or their vehicle. We've seen the progression of it going from something more commercial, private sector integration to now seeing it more used in the tapestry of, civilians today.
Very good. Same question to you, Charlie.
Well, what I want to mention is I think IoT is not a new concept. I actually checked on web. It was started from 1999 for the RFID, which is for the inventory, the management. But till now, I don't really see that much inventory management with the RFID. But what the IoT, what we are talking about now is to try to make all the machine to be connected with the internet. And this concept, I remember it was started from the 2010. I think it was brought up by the Intel. And till now, we still see a lot of things not really connected into the internet. And I think started from last year, we see the name AIoT. So AIoT is something I don't really think that is a new concept at, but AI truly give IoT something different. Before, when we do the IoT, it's like we program our gateway and then connect with the machine, and we put like a conditional sentence and collecting the data from the machine and send back to the cloud. But when the AI right now, the AI I'm talking about, the definition is a generative AI, just like a ChatGPT. That's truly going to make something different. Because we're gonna let there's a gateway to have capability to make the decision instead of to human give them a program to make the decision. So I think that's the biggest impact on my side. Thank you.
Are you concerned about it, Charlie?
Well,
about the fact that the machines are making the decisions for us?
Well, that's a very good question. At this moment, I don't have that much concern. But in the future, it's very, very hard to predict.
Okay. I'm going to come back to you later, so hold that thought. Mm-hmm. Jason, the impact of artificial intelligence on the Internet of Things.
Like other panelists mentioned, IoT actually started a long time ago. I mean, early day basically is because of the connectivity become more readily available. Then you have devices out there that you can connect to the cloud. And recently, also because of the network improvement in terms of bandwidth, as well as the improvement on the compute power. So the AI portions started to come in instead of just trying to transmit the data packet over to the cloud and to let the cloud make that decision and come back. Now you have more compute that's readily available at the edge that can do a lot of different compute, including AI workload that make a lot of different task that wasn't sort of possible now become possible. So that kind of bring out the whole arena in terms of different application, different usage scenario. So it's getting even more popular and people started to use it. Of course, with the AI and also the IoT, that would increase your productivity. And in another way, that can improve your safety as well. So all in all, I think this is a welcome trend. And then the technology company, of course, is also trying to kind of ride this technology to provide a better solution for their customer. Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about the challenges now a developer would be facing. Let's start with Charlie. What are the biggest challenges a developer faces when trying to implement this technology?
Okay, yeah, that's another good question. I think they can be, I can talk in four different direction. I think the first two is also something later that I think the other member gonna talk about. One is security, a second one is privacy. So in security, I think we already seen some news talk about the hacker started to using AI to attach another computer or system. I believe this type of issue will come in more and more in the future. We will also see some defense AI to the to compete those hacker AI. The second thing is regarding to the privacy. As all you know, AI actually is learning human, no matter our history or our know-how in the past. So I don't know if all of you want to share your know-how and to the public. Some people are very protective. So this kind of privacy issue, how we're gonna manage is another thing that we need to talk about in later topic. And the third thing is regarding to the AI construction. In high level management, what I want to say is how company or government going to plan about the AI development, because we all know that AI going to replace a lot of job, and once the job has been replaced by AI, the income, the tax income for government will be reduced a lot. So in terms of this point of view, how government will think about the high level things to respond this kind of AI development. And the third thing, the fourth thing, sorry, is regarding to the human resistance. Like I just mentioned earlier, people may not want to share our knowledge to public because that's something we can work and get paid. But if we share all those kind of knowledge and know-how to the AI, they can easily replace us. So how we can manage to or find a balance to let human to willing to share their know-how to AI, but at the same time, they can still hold their salary. This is something I think is quite important in the future.
One thing, Charlie, did you say defense AI?
Yeah, defense AI, which means when hacker is starting to using AI technology to attacking other system, and then for sure, there will be a defense AI to be developed in the future.
Got it. Okay, I just wanted to clarify, make sure I understood what you were saying there. Who didn't answer yet? I think it's Tosh.
Yeah, you know, I think two areas I can talk about for, you know, obstacles in the AIoT development. One for me, a large area of it is just going to be, you know, cost constraints. You know, these type of projects are very expensive. I mean, you're typically talking about, you know, one is your hardware cost. So maybe a battery operation, computer technology, cameras, network appliances. You, then you have another layer, which is the software itself, and you know, there's different you know, building blocks of software you might need to have combined to create one solution. And then the other areas is just, you know, the infrastructure costs, you know, to build these out and integrate them into spaces, you know, the talent required to program these things and integrate them and get them live. These projects are very expensive, you know. So again, we kind of see different projects roll out taking a bit longer than what we would originally anticipate some rollouts to be, just because, again, there's so many different moving parts that if during that chain any, you know, supplier drops out or doesn't meet the requirements, you know, it does kind of halt the total execution of the project. So, you know, definitely cost constraints seems to be an area that is impacting the development of AIoT. Another area I think that goes with this is just scalability. You know, typically if I'm just saying, hey, my pilot location is going to end up costing almost, you know, $2-3 million worth of, you know, software and hardware and, you know, talent to make it happen, and then I need to multiply that by X, you know, cities or X, you know, consumers, a lot additional costs can be impacted by that. And part of that scalability runs into other challenges, you know, like one, you might have other devices interconnected with it. So how do you make those things speak with it? You know, you might have various networks that these devices are operating on. So how do you make sure that all the protocols are, you know, working and not blocking and basically causing a again, another obstacle within the installation. So for us, you know, I definitely think, you know, an area that we would see better opportunity in for us is going to be, and maybe trying to support those obstacles, you know, like how do we, you know, lower those cost constraints, you know, how are we able to cover scalability so that way, you know, it doesn't end up costing as much and it's easier to roll out these projects into bigger pilots, you know, or bigger locations.
Very good. And we have Jason.
Yeah. Echoing Charlie and Taj mentioned, like, you know, the from a developer's perspective, the challenges are what I think security and also the privacy, the acceptance of this technology. It may be easy to put together a POC, but once you are getting into the real deployment, there are other considerations that need to sort of factor in. So like Charlie and Taj mentioned, software is one thing. Right, security, you need to make sure that all the breaches can be patched in the quickest time before it get hacked by the hacker, right? And so there are more consideration in terms of a actual deployment. How do you manage it? How do you scale it? And how do you protect it? And then, of course, you know, how do you sell it? Another one maybe is also the technology's advancement, like Intel coming out with the new CPU, and then they are beginning to embed the NPU inside the CPU now. And NVIDIA, of course, they have the GPU, and also they have the Jetson for more edge kind of computing. And there are other ASIC that's targeted for AI compute, more on the inferencing side. So they are different technology and they are advancing very, very quickly. And so how do you pick the right solution and in order to use it in the long run? That's also very important in the beginning when you pick a solution that you want to go in and develop your solution.
Okay, very good. You've alluded to this, but let's be more specific with it. I'd like you guys to cite some examples of artificial intelligence in the IoT, both in consumer applications and industrial applications. Let's go with Taj first.
Yeah, I mean, my best example when I'm trying to explain what AIoT is to maybe my mom or my dad, basically, is typically going to be maybe like and modern home thermostats or modern home lighting. You know, for us, an example of that is, you know, AI is able to utilize, you know, a conjunction of AI and IoT is for like smart lighting in homes, or office spaces. It's able to basically pick up the daily habits. It's able to pick up natural light from the outside, and it's able to provide you probably the most optimal lighting for that user's preference. And so for us, you know, that's a way I usually explain it to my parents. If I'm talking more in the industrial scale of things, a lot of what we're seeing is more in the manufacturing space. A lot of AI and IoT is being utilized for, you know, warehouse management. So being able to utilize like IoT based jacks that can basically move pallets from space to space, being completely autonomous while utilizing AI for, you know, detection of, you know, its surroundings. And then also, again, utilizing AI to figure out what's the best efficient path. You know, I think for us, the whole objective of all this stuff is, again, that, you know, the purpose of it is to drive innovation, and it's supposed to be more efficient. And then as more of this is integrated in the industrial marketplace, we start seeing it, that being like the core value, you know, that's it's setting the value for a lot of the industry.
In your view, are you making a clear distinction between machine learning and artificial intelligence? Because I can see how machine learning would be appropriate for some of the applications that you're referring to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, you know, machine learning, and honestly, it's both spectrums of the industry seem to be largely in demand. We do have a lot more implementations of machine learning be utilized just predominantly for, again, like use of efficiency through factories. But then also on the other end of it is utilizing cameras to and AI and IoT together to basically see where the quality of a welding tip is, so that way we can replace that hardware before, you know, we start having more door panels on airplanes not being installed right or something, right? So, you know, that's kind of our two.
That would never happen, would it? Very timely. Okay. Charlie?
Yeah.
You have some examples for us?
Sure. Actually, DFI is a company start with a consumer product, consumer motherboard. But now we fully move to the embedded. If you ask me about consumer related, I would say all the home appliance going to be with the AI. I already see some news said that some companies developing AI refrigerator. I think this concept has been brought up in the year 2000 before, said that you don't really need to order anything online because your smart refrigerator going to tell you what milk, what vegetable you need to buy and order directly, then send it to your home. But after 20 years, we still did not see that happen. But AI going to be something different because it will really think for you, not programmed by the like I said, the conditional statement to make that judgment. But in terms of industrial side, I would say the everything will be the related to AI, including like right now I'm seeing on the road the traffic control. I see a lot of people are trying to, you know, control the traffic, but AI can fully replace that kind of job. In factory, the operator, they have SOP. Those things are very easily to be replaced by AI. So I think my answer going to be, it's going to be everywhere.
Will we be able to make this cost effective enough for the consumer applications that you referred to?
For sure, for the company, that going to be very cost effective. But at the same time, many people going to be replaced, and they need to think about what they're going to do for their job. Yeah.
Okay. Jason, what examples do you have for us?
Well, on the consumer side, actually, kind of self-checkout, that's with the barcode, right? But I think at the airport, you're starting to see self-checkout based on camera. So that's a example of AI improving the checkout process. I won't say right now it's perfect. Sometimes you probably still need the clerk to come over to scan the object for you, but it's getting a lot smarter. And on the industrial side, actually, ASUS, we have a new smart factory. We actually complement the AI inspection with a traditional machine vision related optical inspection on the SMT line. So what we learned is the traditional optical inspection based on machine vision has its merit in terms of speed, but it may be too strict. So you have a lot of false positive. But using AI for those false positive rejection, we can actually use AI to inspect those rejection and determine that's actually not something that you need to reject. So usually it's operator behind it. And now we can put a AI machine, complement the machine vision. So that's one example that we actually is implementing that in our smart factory using the AI technology.
Very good. I like that. Okay. Next, we're going to talk about a subject that's pretty near and dear to my heart, data security and privacy. This is a two-part question. First, how do we make our systems more safe and secure by using artificial intelligence? The second part is, how do we stop the bad guys from using artificial intelligence to hack our systems? I'll start with you, Tosh. Both questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll tackle your second question first in regards, how is it that, hardware manufacturers such as Shuttle Computers is, tackling some of these data security and privacy challenges. I mean, if we step back a bit, we are talking about a computer at the end of the day. So if we simplify the requirements of that, ways that we're helping, and that segment is predominantly with hardware TPM. There is a format of firmware TPM found on a lot of devices, which, Windows requires as part of Microsoft's operating system build. But then there's also hardware TPM, which is physically soldered onto a motherboard, and they can be sourced from various different manufacturers, and they all have different levels of encryption basically inside of it. So depending if, we're getting more like government bids or applications that are a lot more data sensitive, we are noticing that one of the predominant requirements is a form of hardware TPM. So that's been one way of us as a PC manufacturer trying to add a layer of security. Addition to that would be software, making sure that those softwares are secure. If we're using operating systems, we're making sure that they're fully licensed and legal, operating systems. So that way they have security packages and updates like that applied to them as a, ongoing measure of security for the device.
Okay. Charlie, what does DFI say about that?
Well, I first, regarding to the security, I remember this kind of issue has been happened a long time ago, which is we call cybersecurity, because once everything is getting connected, which means it is possible to let a hacker to get into to steal your data or your personal information. So when AIoT comes, like Tosh mentioned, in terms of the hardware side, I think most of the suppliers all come with like a TPM. some sort of a hardware security mechanism. So this type of design can avoid hackers easily to get into our AIoT devices. So this is the first thing that, regarding to the security. And regarding to the privacy, I would say this part is quite related to the security. But what I want to say is, in the future, a lot of AI gonna to be built with the model. So right now, for example, like ChatGPT, it's actually learning human knowledge. So I think for the, some the AI model in the future, when they collect into a human intelligent, they supposedly should be with selection. For example, like if I want to ask a question to, on ChatGPT, I can select, do I want to let AI to learn about my knowledge or not? So that's sort of privacy things. I believe that those AI companies should let user to have this kind of right to, you know, make the decision.
Okay, excellent. And Jason.
Yeah, I think security, like you know, the Charlie and Taj mentioned TPM hardware security, secure boot, you know, full disk encryption. There are mechanisms that you can implement to help secure your hardware devices. The same thing is on the software side. So how quickly you can find vulnerability and then provide a patch to it, and then you'll be able to do it over the air to secure it, the quickest time that you have. And then on the software design side, there are mechanisms that you can try to detect behavior. And that's kind of AI can help as well. There's actually a customer is looking at the network traffic through the AI model to see, this seems like a attack from a hacker. You'll be able to report back to the operator. So I think there are implementation that can help you do that. And on the privacy side, running this at the edge may have some advantage over running this at the cloud. But you still need to be very careful in terms of how do you protect people's data, and so that you don't violate the privacy of your customer. One example, I think, was a vending machine at the university. They actually implemented some AI and then kept the data at the edge, but they actually found an error message showing on the vending machine that the facial recognition is not working, things like that. So the vending machine is not working. That actually triggered the school to pull all the vending machine out of the campus. So there are implementation, like I said, you know, POC is easy, but once you start talking about deployment, there are lots of consideration that you need to kind of plan it well and then design it and in order to protect it. Yeah.
Very good. That was a really good example. Okay. The future of AIoT, let's talk about some of the trends. When we have this podcast a year from now, what will be the hot button? What will we be talking about? Let's start with Charlie.
Yeah. So I think first we're gonna see more and more the edge devices for sure, because edge devices need to collect the data from the field side. That can be came from the sensor. It can be came from the camera. Once those data has been collected, it will be the process in the in the edge computer, and then and send back all those data back to the cloud side. So this is something for sure we're gonna see, and that's also what Taiwanese company mostly are doing right now, because as you all know, the DFI and also other Taiwanese supplier are doing the computer and the hardware for the AIoT. And secondly, I would say that we will see the more and more the GPU power. I don't know if you guys are using the ChatGPT right now. My feeling is it's not as fast as in the beginning. It's getting slower and slower. That means many, many people are using it, and the performance is not really catching up. So I think the GPU, the performance or the power will be the extremely the, getting the, more in the cloud side in the future.
So question for you, do we need the cloud at all a year from now?
Well, cloud for sure will still be the will still be there. In the end, I think it will be the more in the in the field side instead of in the cloud side.
Okay. All right, I'll buy that. Jason, what do you see as some of these future trends?
Well, the compute performance is going to keep improving for sure, right? You're going to consume less power. Battery power is going to be becoming more possible. So you're going to see more and more application take advantage of this AI compute, become more deployed, and then you're going to see it everywhere. So the trend, I think, is inevitable. This is definitely going to help us. It's just that how we can take advantage of that, and then we can utilize the technology, you know, the best way that we can. Of course, it's going back to the same old question, right? Technology can help you, can also hurt you. So it depends on how you utilize that. But you still want to put the best use for it, so bring out the advantage, and then and also, I guess, do our best to keep the bad guys out. I guess that's kind of how I would put it in terms of the trend. How do we utilize this AI to help us?
So you say AI everywhere. Will it be mobile? Is it something we can run on a battery? Maybe not a year from now, maybe 2 years from now. Will we see AI on a battery?
Oh yeah, I mean, right now, like Google's camera, that's already on a battery. You just have to keep charging it, that's all. And then some of the devices, if you do use the, for example, some of the data collection, you don't really need to run it every second, right? Then you can put a battery on it. And lots of IoT actually already operated by battery. And in terms of the sensor that you deploy in the field. So those are already possible. But of course, AI will still use a lot of compute power. But the trend to go, like the NVIDIA, their announcement, just the GTC, the H100 last year was like, you know, super fast, but the Blackwater that they just introduced, it's already going to take over that. So I guess you start dropping H100, you start buying the new one. So yeah, it's going to be quicker and faster. And this trend, I think, is not going to stop. Yeah.
Okay. I agree with you. What do you say, Tosh?
You know, I feel like I'm from the last generation of teenage kids who got maybe summer jobs during high school. And my summer job, yeah, my summer job was at McDonald's, you know, and one thing that I could not stand was after talking with maybe 50 people, you get that one customer that just asks you the most exhausting questions, like, what is the price of a number one versus just the sandwich by itself? How many calories does this product have? You know, and I don't have an index of that data. So you're spending time adding things on the POS, removing things on the POS, and that would, you know, again, it'd drive me nuts and it would back up the line, you know. So One thing that I've been really impressed with, and I think we are probably going to see a quicker implementation in the marketplace, is that, you know, Shuttle manufactures a wide variety of products. And one of our solutions is actually a turnkey kiosk, basically. And a segment of what we've been testing was really AI and drive-through systems. So for the order taking process is one area that I am very excited for. So the example of this is, again, what I just explained that would take a lot of time. The amount of time it takes AI to tell you the price difference between a combo and a sandwich is almost immediate. How many calorie differences between two different products is almost immediate. And I think that type of implementation has been one of the roadblocks of progression of, you know, drive-through technology and a lot of our QSR marketplaces. So, you know, we to be able to see that technology just only have one roadblock ahead of it, that roadblock being really more in the sense of the software, the AI not knowing when you're done talking to it. You know, I think that is just an area that will be, you know, a resolution will be found. And that's why I'm thinking, you know, something that we might see in our near future is just fully autonomous drive-throughs that can, again, provide you all the details and services just as well as a human interface would, but maybe a little bit more accurate. And another thing that I see, you know, because we're a global manufacturer, you know, one discussion I had with my Japan office is that, you know, each country has its own obstacles. In Japan, there's a large obstacle in place where the workforce is retiring. There is a age demographic there that would do a lot of simple tasks like crosswalk duty, construction signage, stuff like that. And so again, what Japan branch is, you know, telling us more is that the demand for AI and AIoT applications in their country is huge. You know, it's basically there to help fill in a gap potentially, because a lot of the young workforce does not have interest in doing, you know, mundane civilian tasks like that. You know, they're more pushing for, you know, programming jobs, engineering jobs, whatever, you know. So, but it's definitely not holding a sign. So I think for us, you know, we do see, you know, AIoT growing quickly. And again, I'm just very excited to see where it ends up in about 5 years.
Very good. I love your examples. Okay, we're in the home stretch here, guys. We're running out of time. So what advice would you give for aspiring AIoT innovators? Say they're a startup, say they're just an individual who wants to make a mark in the AI for IoT industry. What advice are you giving these guys? Let's start with Jason.
Like I said, probably in the beginning, the POC may seem simple, but the real deployment, the complexity is something that you want to plan it out if you're thinking about a AIoT deployment. So making a box on a human face, and whether that's male or female, that's pretty straightforward right now compared to like 5-10 years ago. But to really deploy that in the field, you have a camera, you have the thermal consideration, you have the hacker that you need to worry about. So those need to take a system design approach to make sure that your solution is robust and will be able to perform well once you start deploying it.
Very good. How about you, Tosh? What advice are you going to give people?
Honestly, you know, we're talking about an area where each area has its own level of expertise. You know, if my suggestion to anybody would be is, you know, really become confident in knowing about what AI is and that tapestry, also what IoT is. You got to know maybe data analytics and a little bit of maybe cybersecurity, just like the other guests mentioned, it is an ecosystem. So again, I think if you really educate yourself myself, that really transfers in confidence when speaking with other industry experts, which allows you to do the last step of it, which is networking. You know, learn what off of other people, be a sponge. And again, don't be afraid to, you know, try something. You know, right now, this is a very innovative new marketplace. So I think a lot of what we're seeing today is just people Mickey Mousing things together. And voila, I got myself a new product.
Very good. And last but not least, Charlie, what advice?
All right. I'm gonna give you so, audience. Yeah. So what I see the developing the AI application right now is very similar to what we see the, in dot-com fever in 1990s. So there will be a lot of new application. So application going to be the key. For someone who want to the, start up their the AI business. So my suggestion is try to figure out what exactly people doesn't really want to do by themselves, which means the environment can be dangerous. For example, like mining. That is a very dangerous job to do for human. So if you are doing this kind of business, you will have a less human resistance, like I mentioned before. We will see the, some human resistance in the future because human AI going to replace their job. So the, this is my suggestion to anyone who wants to start an AI the business. Application is the key. And the second thing, please try to do more the software. Don't do hardware to compete with a company like us here.
Good, very good, very good. I'd like to thank our three panelists for allowing me to throw some questions at them that they were not expecting. That was Tosh Agar, director with Shuttle, Charlie Yang, the general manager at DFI, and Jason Liu, director of product manager for ASUS Computer International. Before we wrap up, I'd like to bring back Tessa Lin, the project manager who's with Tytra, who can close us out. Here you go, Tessa.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. I really enjoyed today's discussion. I think it was really impressive. And my last point would be Taiwan has got excellent transportation infrastructure, that is Taiwan High Speed Rail. It links the whole Taiwan's industrial clusters, and this makes international visitors could come to us to visit their Taiwanese partners and visit the trade shows in a very short time. And this efficiency has made major international exhibitions really attractive, such as Computex, Titronics and AIoT Taiwan, Smart City Summit and Expo, as well as Securtech. These events attract every year approximately 110,000 international visitors to Taiwan. And on behalf of Tytra, I would like to invite all of you to come to these events. You could see how this company showcases their latest AIoT and other IT products. And thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Tessa. And also a reminder that this podcast was organized by the International Trade Association and implemented by the Taiwan External Trade Development Council, better known as TITRA. So thank you, panelists, and thank you to everybody in the audience who is listening to our podcast. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Embedded Insiders. For more daily news, videos, and podcasts, visit our website at embeddedcomputing.com.